Welcome back to Sweet Pea Podcast, The Early Years, with your host, Loretta McDonough. So today we're at Barnardo's Centre. It's the headquarters. And Barnardo's mission is to have a country where no child has to suffer and every child is able to reach their full potential. And that's really lovely because everybody should be given the opportunity to reach their full potential. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a really good ethos for early years, because that's, I think, what we're all trying to do, is make sure that every child gets a chance. And Barnardo's is a charitable organisation, for anyone listening that don't know who Barnardo's is, and they're in Ireland, and they're a charitable organisation that has over 700 staff and volunteers working together, who work in 40 centres across Ireland, and they deliver a wide range of services to children and families. So today we are talking to Sharon Byrne, and she is the Early Years Development Coordinator for Barnardo's here in Cornmarket. Pleased to meet you.
Pleased to meet you too, Loretta.
And you're not to be nervous. The listeners are going to hear your story.
And thanks a million for inviting me to take part in this podcast.
You're very welcome. You know what? And it's really great, because when people, you know, I have approached Barnardo's for them, and people say, look, just give us a little while and we'll get somebody to talk to you. I really appreciate it, because it makes my job really easy, because people are willing to talk.
Yeah.
And everybody has a story. So Sharon, you didn't just get here all of a sudden like a Doctor Who time warp when you just dropped in. So how did you get here, and what's your story?
Well, I suppose for almost 20 years I was managing early year services. So I worked, when I kind of left school and went to college, I was doing some mad course like environmental resources or town planning or something, and it wasn't for me.
Yeah.
So I left and I decided instead to do community development.
Okay.
And when I was doing community development, I ended up having my first son, and I got involved in a local community childcare organisation, and I started to work for them part time when my son was very small. And I was doing kind of administration and fundraising and
so
stuff.
Yes, yeah.
And it was very early days in, there was no regulations or anything like that. And they'd set up kind of part-time preschools around the area. And it was a very disadvantaged area as well.
Okay.
So I started to get interested in this because I was kind of doing fundraising. So you really needed to know when you were doing some fundraising, well, what were you fundraising for?
Yeah.
And I was very young as well. So I kind of got really interested in, I started to apply for grants and things like that. And then
On behalf of the organisation,
yes,
was it?
Yes, yeah. So I kind of had to really know my stuff a bit. Yeah. And it was a very young organisation. So then from there, we had decided during the summer that we would run a summer camp, because staff still needed to be paid.
Of course.
The children only wanted term time, a lot of them. So we'd set up, and that I was part of setting that up. And because I'd been with the scouts and I was a scout leader.
Okay.
And there was no regulations back then.
I think
like it's still so recent that people are qualified to work with children. Yeah. So I wasn't qualified, apart from my experience. So I ended up helping out in this summer camp, and I loved it.
Like hands-on?
Hands-on, working like, and it was actually 9 to 5, which was kind of new for me and for the organisation, doing it part-time before there for the summer. And I absolutely loved it. I was like, oh my God, this is like for me, you know?
Yeah.
So from there, I went on and I trained with a private college, and I did a diploma in childcare at the time, I think it was called.
Yeah, me too.
And did a few other pieces with the IPPA and all of those kind of courses. Yeah. And I said, you know what, I think I'd really like to work in early years.
Yeah.
So we'd got a grant, I don't know if you remember back in the day, with ADM.
Oh, I do, yes, I do, yeah.
And there were some kind of pilot scheme around grants to try and increase the number of places. So the organisation I was working for applied for a grant, opened up the first full day early year service in the area. And I went to work there, and I was assistant manager when I started there. And we had a community employment scheme. So a lot of the staff would be like, you know, I'd be organising training for them and different things like that.
Very busy, I'd say.
Oh, really, really busy.
Yeah, yeah, and really thrown into it like your head first.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah.
And like this was, I think, around 1995 or something. And like, as we know, the regulations came out in 96, and it was a couple of years before
we had inspections and stuff like that.
But I would be around from that time. So I would have seen the sector, I suppose, evolve and really from the beginning.
Yeah.
And then after I was there a good few years, I became manager. And there was grant staff and grants
That's
at the
right.
time.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
we kind of, there was more opportunities. So I ended up anyway being manager for a long time there. And I was there for, I think, maybe like nearly 15 years altogether.
Doesn't the years fly?
Flies.
Don't
in.
You? Like when you think yes. you're in head first in it, I'll never do this. And just all of a sudden 3 years have gone by yeah. and then you're manager and then you're going on 15 years. What happened?
And during that time, I would have been interested, like in terms of curriculum, before ASHTA or anything came out, I was like, we kept saying play-based curriculum, but didn't really know what that meant as such. And I was like, I really feel that we could be doing a lot more. And yeah. I remember at the time, IPPA had this quality assurance kind of program, and it was a 3-year program. And I signed myself, and there was myself and another manager, and the two of us signed up, and we would go every month.
Good for you.
And bring the learning back, and we really learned all about you know, Piaget and Vygotsky. Yeah. But we started to learn about documenting children's learning and curriculum planning, and I was like, this is like,
and the benefits
know.
Of it.
Oh my God,
you know,
a huge
the real
turnaround.
Benefits. Yeah,
because we hadn't really thought, like, obviously you would take photos of children at Christmas and things like that, but this was the first time we looked at that kind of document learning and children's interests and schemas and
yes.
stuff.
Yes, yeah.
And then I went
and
on.
And even, sorry, even the reason behind it, you know, yeah. like even the doing that, and because you're going back every month, you're kind of learning and then putting it into practice.
Yeah. Yeah.
Then going back and then putting it into practice. It's just the best way, isn't
oh,
it?
Oh, it's I think it's the only way to learn. And like, I love how in the last kind of year, I suppose, degrees and VTAC courses, they've been reviewed in terms of the placement. And obviously a lot of them would have a big emphasis yeah. already on placement. But it's just so, so important that you're able to implement your learning rather than kind of learning it all and then waiting till the end
yeah.
and then going forward. Because
yeah.
you've no way of really going, I don't know if I did this right, or
no.
you know,
yeah, or learning in practice, yeah, exactly.
exactly,
yeah.
So I suppose I kind of got a grant at the time for the service when I was working there, and we started to train in High Scope, which is an early years curriculum that I absolutely love. Yeah. I mean, I love all curriculums because I think yeah. it's so important to have a curriculum,
to have any curriculum, just to have it
to
in
have
place,
one,
yeah.
yeah. But High Scope really kind of really, I suppose, resonated with me, and particularly because I'd always worked in very disadvantaged communities. And it was originally would have been developed to kind of, I suppose, try and provide better outcomes for children
yeah.
that were coming from high disadvantage, and would show that there's a lot of success there. So I trained in there. And then when I was there about 15 years, you know, you go, gosh, maybe it's time to move on.
Yeah.
In the sense that, do I want to learn? And I know some people are very happy to work in the same place, but
yeah.
There was nowhere for me to go, I yeah. suppose. Like,
and you're shown from very early part of your profession that you were always progressive, you're kind of adding on and adding on
yeah,
to it, so then
yeah.
it does, and it does, it's just naturally in your own self that when you add on so much you go, I can't actually do anymore, I need
yeah.
for yourself.
And it's sometimes
yeah.
it's a turn for other people as well, because there were people there, they were working there like quite long, they had trained up, and there was no, like I was able to, you know, somebody was able to take the place, I
yeah.
suppose, I
yeah.
made up. So it was a little
and it's
bit
really
of that.
And then that's the way it should be, isn't it? It's like
yeah.
a rollover and a move up and a move over. Mm. And it's, and I think it's very healthy practice for somebody new to come in with a different perspective on how
yeah.
they should do it, or not
definitely.
Even how they should do it, but it, you know, it evolves, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And time
yeah.
it makes, especially childcare, it's like rapidly changing all the
mm-hmm.
time, isn't it?
So I moved to, I saw an opportunity for a new purpose built, and where I had worked wasn't purpose built.
Okay.
So this is a purpose built community service in another disadvantaged area. But this time there was one of the area based childhood programs was there. I don't know if, are you familiar with them, Loretta?
That's not like the, you know, the one where they give a scheme and the parents are involved. It's not that one, is it?
Not exactly. No. So, originally, there's currently, I think it's 13 around the country.
Okay.
And they're in areas of high disadvantage where they're interagency programs that are set up. They'll have a lead agency, and that will be different in different areas. And they're around really targeting kind of from the pre-birth up to age 6, and how to, what can we do as a community-wide initiative to have better outcomes for children. And they're usually, they'll have a very strong parenting element. They'll have a pregnancy support element, and they'll have they'll bring preschool into it, and they might bring sometimes kind of the, you know, the younger school age children
yeah,
as well.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So there was one of them set up there, and there was, I was very, very lucky. So when I managed the service there, I'm trying not to say the names of the places, but I loved it there. And I had two mentors. I was really, really lucky that were employed under this ABC program. And one was a Sheelta mentor,
okay,
and one was a Highscope mentor. And I had loved Highscope, so that was a win for me. And I went to work there, and I was there for 5 years. And during that time, I had a great team that worked around me. And we took everything we could get from this ABC program. We took all the mentoring. We were involved with the pilot Sheelta assurance process. So we were a part of that pilot originally. So we went through that whole QAP, which took us years. And now I'm a Sheelta mentor. I can really, I suppose, I know what it's like to be a manager and try and bring a team through that process, because it is hard.
And it's challenging, and you come up against challenging people.
Yes.
You know, so to be able to understand that, to be able to teach it back to people.
Yeah, yeah. And I could see the value, because it was like a lifeline to me, because it was very difficult to move to a new service. It was a very, it was a big service. It was brand new. The team were brand new. And the area we worked in, there was a lot of social problems, and we would have had a lot, like, lovely families, lovely children, but there would be more, I suppose, the families were facing a lot of adversity, and that brings along a lot of, I suppose, challenges when you're working with that volume, I suppose, of adversity. So I really got to see the benefits of being mentored and what that could mean.
And was that like a daycare service that had like baby room, play school, preschool,
exactly
everything? Yeah. So it was. And then these agencies, who were those agencies? Like, were they HSC that set it up, or was it just initiative?
We were government a community. Initiatives? So the service itself was a community creche, if you like, giving the old name. And they had a board of management, just like any other community service was. But the ABC program would have been funded at the time to support different professionals working in the area and parents.
Okay.
And some services really gravitated towards them and got everything they could from it, which we did.
Yeah.
And other services were like, you know, that's not for us, and that's fine too.
Okay.
No, unfortunately, their budget was cut, that particular ABC program, and the early years aspect of their program no longer is there, and they still run their parenting programs and stuff like that.
Okay.
But at the time, it was made, because we were able to train all the staff in Highscope. We were able to get the Sheelta mentoring. We were able to get loads of different opportunities that you wouldn't necessarily get if we had been in another area.
Yeah.
But then I felt after the 5 years, we had achieved our kind of the top Sheelta level four. We had we hadn't got Highscope accreditation, but we were operating Highscope throughout the service. And I was like, I think maybe need another challenge, you know?
Yeah.
And I suppose, you know, when you've managed one service, not that you've managed one, you've managed them all, but they're not that different, you know, the way, even though you might move to a different kind of setup, I suppose, it's still going to be the same. And I ended up spending a lot of my time on financial management and administration, and even though it's so important for early years, there was no joy in that for me.
You're cornered. It's where you started, it's not where you were ended. I mean, you're put in that position, you're far from your summer camps.
So I was like, this, it's time for me to go now, because I felt maybe at least 50% of my time was trying to like make sure that there was enough money in the bank for staff to be paid and everything else. Like, you know, just, I was like, well, maybe I'll have a little look. And by chance, I've always loved Barnardo's, because I would have, I suppose, known about their publications. I would have gone to training with Barnardo's, and the mentoring that I had, Barnardo's had a big input on that in that area.
Yeah.
So a job came up in another ABC area. And it was the area that I had worked in for 15 years. And it was as an early years mentor. And I saw that advertisement go up one day, and I was like, oh my goodness, that is for me.
Yeah.
I felt not only, I felt, I suppose, because I had been mentored, and I felt that had made such a difference to me, that I was ready to be able to maybe offer that to other services.
Yeah.
And particularly an area that I knew very well. So I felt that it would, because sometimes the relationships are really so important. We spend so many years building relationships in community, and I knew I wouldn't have to start from scratch either.
Yeah.
and that I would have other opportunities, because the way ABC works, you might be in part of maybe the early years, but the interagency piece is so important that you'll always kind of, I suppose, have your finger in the parenting piece or the...
It's so diverse because you'd have the babies, so the parents, or the staff or the manager. Yeah. It's like, yeah, it affects everybody. Yeah. Yeah. So in your role here in Bernardo's, mm-hmm, what do you have to do? What's your role?
So basically, Bernardo's, I suppose, are, as you said, they're well known for the work we do with parents, and we also have our own early year services. But the programme that I'm involved with is a little bit different. So we support the learning and development of the early years sector. So we have, I suppose, four main strands. So first, as you walk in the door, you'll see we have a library. Now, a lot of people don't realise that we have this library, and it's a fantastic resource. So in Christchurch Square, we have two librarians, early years practitioners, more so, it's not only for early years, anybody can join, but we have a big range. So they will, you can sign up and become a member and borrow books like you would from any other library. If you're down maybe outside of Dublin and you can't get in, you can have a look online. Our catalogue is online, and we'll post books out to anywhere in the country. And then the person would just post them back. So that's kind of one aspect. And our librarians also are our information officers as well. And then you could be looking for a journal article, or I know I'm always finding abstracts online and I go, I can't get the article. Colin, help me. Yeah. And then he'll be able to get them because we have an access to a lot of those databases.
And, you know, that is, you know, it's so needed, because like when I was doing my degree, and you're looking for that little article that's a little bit different.
Yeah.
And I know there's loads of students that listen and things like that. And you're always don't want to use somebody else's article or the four recommended articles. You're always looking to push yourself a little bit. And even practitioners, when we're done studying, you never really stop. And to have the facility that you can come in and talk to somebody and they say, listen, actually, I can recommend this one. This is good.
Yeah.
To have it. And like you said, online, that if you are in Galway or Kerry or anywhere, across like, and even I'm sure other countries that can get in into Bernardo's and see what you're about in the library. Yeah, it's a great initiative.
It's fantastic. And I mean, there'll be other resources like DVDs and stuff. You know, you might want things for a team meeting and you're doing it on a particular topic, and you can ring up or you can look at our online catalogue and ask, do we have anything that would be helpful? There's loads of things
it's
there.
It's great for team meeting because everybody can have a cup of tea and a muffin and just put the DVD on and everybody just watch it, and you're still learning from it. And it just reminds you, click back into the practice that we, you know, just keep reminding you.
Or if the resource that maybe was a little bit expensive, you know, but and we didn't have it, just ask and we might be able to get it, you know. So depending if we think that it's going to be useful for other services, which the majority of times it would be, if it's an interest of one early years teacher, it's going to be to the next. So that's kind of one strand of our work. And we also have, and a lot of people would know about our publications. So we do a lot of early years and school age child care publications. So we've been doing them for many years now. And we usually have maybe 4 a year, and then we'll have our Child Links journal magazine as well.
It's quite a lot.
Yeah. So last year we would have had publications on, Jer French actually wrote one around from kind of, you know, the infants and toddler age group. We had one all around arts in the preschool. And when I say arts as opposed to art, so it's looking at all different types, like including music and drama and everything else.
It's actually a really good publication, because I was saying to Sharon earlier on that last year I found myself that I got, you know, six new staff that had never worked together. So for the summer months, we all went home with the brochure, the book, and we had to look through it and kind of get together in our heads in the summer, sitting out your back garden and looking at all the activities, and you know, there's lovely little diagrams and explanations on the play, and then we were kind of able to work our curriculum around it, and
it just
kept your head awake in the summer months, and it's really lovely, you know. And it's for, like, so anybody listening that's not in Ireland can still get on.
We can buy them online. And they'll be posted out to wherever.
Yeah, so it's just great, you know. And then so publications, a lot of publications.
And we have a lot of free ones as well, particularly for parents. So we have, like, if you're in an early year setting and maybe you want to talk to parents about, you know, behaviour and emotions around the young children, we have free publications on that. We've the one you were looking at earlier, Young Children Grieve 2,
and,
you know, supporting children that have experienced bereavement. there's a whole range there, and some of them are ebooks as well. So maybe you could always like kind of ring us and ask to send out 10 or go on to our online shop for free, but you might just want to be downloading it and sharing it to parents that way.
And like you said earlier on about Facebook,
Facebook group, yeah, yes.
And you're able to share it amongst them. So if you were a service provider and you're saying, okay, right, I can't get into Dublin, or I don't know how many, I don't want these brochures, we have a small service hanging around, sitting around, and one parent might need it in a year. That because of the Facebook, and that you could put your link there and say, listen, ma'am, you know, our parents.
Yeah.
This is the link. We've come across this publication. That's a little bit of information that we'd like to share with you. And then parents all have their phones and smartphones. Yeah. It's instant. Yeah. And like, you're not printing out anything, and it's there. Mm-hmm. And then for a staff, I find I have a good few of your little leaflets and things like that. And I find the one getting ready for school. And there was another one about parents and how their child behaves, and you know, the behavior one. And I find that as a practitioner speaking to a parent, to have that little booklet, it's like a little extra support for me.
It is.
Because I'm saying, look, I have this booklet, read it in your own time. There's a few nice little hints in it. Don't read it all, but it's a nice, it's not only am I saying to parents, look, I can help you with this, but look, I also have an additional little tool. So you feel as if you're helping them and giving them something. And then you have your website and your phone number all at the back of it. So it's like, you're just providing extra information for parents that they may not know about it. And I think for a free service, I think we should all be using it, because I think it's fantastic.
Oh, it's brilliant. It's brilliant.
And I didn't know half the amount that you have. You know, I'm bowled over.
We have a huge catalogue.
Sharon, my bag's not actually even big enough for the amount of stuff I want to take off
the
shelf.
We'll find you a bag.
It's great, you know. And so we have publications.
The library. We have training. So Bernardo's deliver training to early years professionals. So it would be in early year settings, and then maybe other types of settings as well. And we would do training in child protection, designated liaison person training, supervision. So a whole range. And then also we do workshops as well. So we're developing a new workshop at the minute on trauma-informed practice in early years.
What's that?
Trauma-informed, this is kind of... Bernardo's in the last year have announced their new trauma-informed strategy. So when we talk about trauma, we're looking at childhood trauma. So there would be adversity that children would experience. So there are things like abuse and neglect. They're the kind of ones people probably think about first. But there's also to do with parental factors. So parental mental health issues, addiction in the family, parents that have separated, death, homelessness is a huge issue, and it's going to have, I'm worried for the repercussions in the future from our current homeless crisis. There's children in foster care. So there's a whole children that have experienced bullying, neighbourhood violence, living in very scary neighbourhoods, and the effect that can have on a child's development. And
these are every day, like this is our society now.
Yeah.
So this is what we have to really prepare. It's Ireland, especially Ireland, we're discovering these new societies now, because we're very new to integration and new families coming in the last 30 years, especially. So we are seeing new communities.
Yes.
And with that comes...
Often, in terms of, like, I suppose racism would be another example of adversity and the impact that can have on children and families as well, you know. So I suppose it's around building. There's a lot more research now. So everybody, I suppose, would already know that if you have a bad childhood, then even more, there's a greater likelihood that there's going to be poor outcomes for you when you're an adult. And obviously that is not always the case, but it is more likely. But we know now there's a lot more studies, I suppose, and we're a lot more informed in actually what the real effects is on childhood adversity. So you might hear the expression ACEs. So ACEs stands for Adverse Childhood Experiences. And there's a lot of studies around ACEs. And there's the original study that kind of happened in the 90s. But we're only really hearing about it now in the last few years. It's become a movement, if you like. And it looked at 10 particular ACEs. But we know there's more than 10. We know... the likes of homelessness as well is going to be huge. But what we know now is, I suppose, the impact it has on brain development and what ongoing impact that has for people's health outcomes when they're adults. And the cumulative effect. So if you have, it's bad enough, one adversity, and it's not to compare one to the other, and but the more adverse experiences you have, the worse the signs would show, that the worse the outcomes are. So we know this. And there's, I suppose, Barnardo's as an organisation have always worked with children and families that have experienced trauma, but we're working at it in a more informed way.
Okay.
So there's a strategy around that. And that's, I suppose, also coming into the work we do with the external early year services. So that's kind of our plan going forward.
Okay.
In terms of training. And we hope to have a publication out at the end of the year that I'm currently working on. Around what can an early year service do. So if you have a child, and I know we talked a little bit earlier, Loretta, around sometimes in a preschool, you might have a child with particular challenging behaviour is the name we usually put on it. And it's so difficult, I suppose, and challenging for the staff and stressful, particularly if you've got a number of children that have that there are behaviours that are problematic in the service. And what we tend to do is focus on, well, what's wrong here and how can we fix it? And if we focus on what's wrong, so for example, well, maybe what's wrong is because there's a speech delay, then we're going to always think about the speech and language therapy, which of course is important. I'm not saying it's not.
Yes, yeah.
But that's what we kind of focus on. Or if we think, okay, this child keeps hitting another child, we're focusing, okay, we need the strategy to teach them to be gentle. And of course we do, and we're not dismissing that. But when we only focus on what's wrong, we miss a whole other aspect to what's going on underneath that behaviour. So I suppose with the trauma-informed practice, it's all around, well, instead of asking what's wrong, we ask what happened.
Yeah.
And it's just a little bit of a different approach.
Yeah.
And I know I worked with a service recently where they were really struggling in terms of one of the children in their preschool room, and they had tried everything, and the other parents in the service were complaining because their children were getting hurt a lot. The staff were getting hurt a lot too, and the child himself was being hurt. He would cry for maybe 40 minutes at the top of his voice several times a day, and it was really, really distressing, and running out of the room, you know, and there was a lot going on, and they were a really good service, and they tried everything. And then they said, maybe if we reduce the hours, maybe a full day was just too long.
And that's what you do, don't you? Yeah. You go straight to
that. So they're going, what's wrong? Too long a day, and we'll do this. And then made the referrals for, for assessments that they thought would help. And they had really, kind of done everything. And then we started, because I had been learning about this, and when I went into work the service, like around, okay, well, let's ask another question. Let's ask, well, what's happened? And when I begin to ask those questions and talk to the adults that really knew this child, it turned out that the child had experienced in his little life, he'd lived for 2.5 years in a hotel room. His parent had had postnatal depression. There'd been parental separation. There'd been, I won't even go into it now, but there'd been a whole range.
And a lot actually, on the little man.
A lot on him
lot
and
on
his
him.
Whole family. And the distress that was causing, when we look at the effects it can have on brain development and on children's stress responses that get overactivated, you could totally understand what might be going on there. And then when they looked at it that way, they began to look at different strategies. So they looked at, okay, if this child is maybe not feeling safe, we need to let this child know he feels safe. How can we do that? And when they came to that, they themselves came up with these amazing ideas. They had like a timer, and every 10 minutes it would go off, and they reminded the adult to let the child know that they had seen him. So they were making connections with him all the time, because they felt, okay, I think he's looking for connections rather than looking for attention, for example.
Yeah.
So they had thought about what must it be like for that parent every day to collect and be told, you know, your child has done A, B and C today. So they started to really try and find strengths and positives to share with that parent, who at one stage had totally disengaged, because I imagine,
oh, sick of hearing it.
Yeah. And the stress that was going on already in her life couldn't maybe take any more. So it's just, I suppose, it does a different approach around it.
Yeah.
But until we understand what is trauma and what is the impact that it can have on a young child, it's very hard then to put in place strategies that can maybe best support that child.
Yeah.
And when you look at services, particularly, I suppose, because I've come from working in very disadvantaged areas, and adversity can happen in all walks of life. You know, this is not something specific to disadvantaged areas. Obviously, adverse experiences can happen in every family in Ireland. Mm. But what happens, I suppose, is the volume of adversity, because in disadvantaged areas, they're all compounded by poverty as well often, and maybe antisocial behaviour in the neighbourhood, and the volume. So if you are teaching a preschool class of 20 children in one area where you might have one or two children, that might grow and might be double or triple that number. And then I suppose what that effect has on all of the children and all of the staff, and for the staff, the I suppose to be empathetic to children, you need to taste a little bit of that feeling. And when those feelings are so distressful, that's going to come back on the staff and how we kind of how you manage
and
that.
And also, Sharon, I think it's asking the questions, the right questions.
Yeah.
And not only of the child, but of ourselves.
Yeah.
You know, like saying, you know, like if I'm the practitioner in that room and you might be working with three other girls and you're working as a team, and you can be really absolutely frustrated that you've just asked your questions about, well, what can I do? What else can I do? Can I, you know, what else can we do? Instead of trying to, like you said, make it better or fix it. Mm-hmm. Like, well, what happened? Like you're saying, that word is great. What happened to be here?
Yeah.
So I'm here now. So if I'm not able for it today, maybe somebody else can step in and try this strategy. And then like that little timer, you know, every 10 minutes. Hi, I'm here. I see you.
Yeah.
Are you okay?
Look at you playing there on the floor with the cars.
I see you. Sometimes it's just literally, I can see you.
Thumbs up.
Thumbs up. I am here. And then, you know, like working in jog area, it's not always easy. And it's very heartwarming and pleasurable, and we get a lot of, I get a lot of love from it, and I get a lot of satisfaction.
Yeah.
And I know listening to you and your stories, you got a lot of satisfaction. Mm-hmm. And there's so many people working in childcare that get a huge amount of satisfaction. But there are the days when, no, like no other job, you're worn out, you're tired, and you've strategies that are just not coming out. Mm-hmm. And I think it's really important that you find another tool. Yeah. And that it might not be you, but maybe somebody else that you're working alongside going, do you know what? The Bernardos have this thing coming up. Let's have a read of that. Let's go online. We'll try that. But I might step back and you might move in.
Yeah.
You know, and like the parent knocking at your door, we are sometimes the bearers of bad news.
Yes.
Unfortunately, you know, for whatever reason.
Yeah.
And then, you know, if we go, okay, say Sharon is dealing with the child and the other leaders in the room and the other practitioners, I'm just going to say what happened here with mom, and a little time, a little thumbs up over
and
the
step parent,
again.
It's easier to receive that information when the relationship is there in the first place. So when you have that strong foundation with a parent, when you are sharing the positives and the strengths, so then when it comes to the time where you need to talk about something that maybe happened that day, they are coming from a place of trust.
Yes.
And it can be hard because, and obviously it takes time to build relationships. They're not going to happen overnight, you know.
Yeah, and especially childcare or even preschool. Mm-hmm. You only have them for 10 months and it takes you 4 months to really get to know them.
Yeah.
It's usually after Christmas or in the next term that you kind of go, oh, I'm getting used to this family now and how they work and things like that. Especially in disadvantaged areas. You know, there's you know, the trust is a huge word. Mm-hmm. And to build that up, you've got a community sometimes that maybe haven't been able to trust other people.
Yeah, particularly if you're maybe an outsider or maybe past experiences, poor experiences from other professionals.
Yeah.
You know, that's going to have an impact.
Yeah. You know, because we forget that we have an authority when we open the door, because we are education teachers and we're there. And from somebody else coming into that door sometimes and you're standing there ready to welcome, we don't know what other experience that the parents have had. Mm-hmm. So, you know, being open-minded and what's happened here.
And not expecting the parent to change to need us.
Sure,
or the child, you know, it does happen. We mightn't name it, but often that's what's going on. We're going, well, they should be doing this better. They should be, you know, ringing first. They can't just, you know, rather than kind of going, well, maybe we need to change here. Yeah. You know, and I know you can only change so much, and, you know, but just kind of, I suppose it's that reflective practice again and just thinking back, you know.
Yeah, and then saying, how can I do this now? And how can Mammy
might
do
be going
this?
On?
Yeah, yeah. Could we meet halfway.
Yeah. Yeah,
yeah. Sometimes meet halfway is nice, you know, that kind of way. And then sometimes that's all you can do.
Exactly, yeah. If even
Yeah. So we have the library, the publications, and then we have the training and the workshops.
And then the last piece, which I should have said first, because this is my kind of...
It's your baby.
It's my baby. It's the bit I'm closest to. So we have our regional development work.
Okay.
And that is our Shield to Mentoring. So there is myself and three, we say regional development worker in Barnardos, but I suppose people are more familiar with the term Shield to Ashter Mentor. And our Shield to Mentors work with a number of services around the country who are participating in the quality assurance program with Shield to. And we also would do some validations for the early years education policy unit as well. And most of that, obviously, the Shield to QAP is quite a formal process. And we do a little bit of informal mentoring as well. So maybe services that we've been engaged with in the past might call up to the mentor they know already and have a relationship, and they're just looking for a bit of support in a particular area. Our Shield to Mentors would also kind of do some, maybe some workshops and things like that with the services they work with. They've been doing a lot lately on mindfulness, and it's just really kind of is very much in keeping with the trauma-informed practice. Obviously, it's good for all children and for the adults as well. So I know Michelle, our Shield to Mentor there the other evening, was working with her service, and they had done a session on, you know, just breathing and... You know,
with the children,
with the adults,
yeah, and the adults,
with the adults. Like, the adults, so it was like, when the children were gone home, because it's very hard, I suppose, to support children to regulate emotions when we're a little bit dysregulated ourselves. So we kind of really need to always start with ourselves before we try and regulate other people, you know.
And how did they perceive that? Did she say it went well?
She said it went really well. For a start, she said that they, when they went to the workshop, it was probably the first time they didn't have to have stuff ready. Because the Shield, there's obviously a lot of documentation. So like that was good, because it was like, okay, we don't need to prep for this. We can just...
Lovely.
And I suppose that is mindfulness, just being there, just being mindful, just taking that breath and...
In the moment.
Yeah. It's not around, it's just teaching it to children as such. It's living it, it's being it. Yeah. Mindful moments throughout the day and the difference they can have on
Isn't that lovely? Because sometimes you're in class, and I've often done it, and I've said, I don't know, what do we do next? There's just nothing to do. We just sit around here now and... Yeah. You know, we just sit around and do nothing. And then they want to do nothing all day. I'm bored, I'm doing nothing, don't want to do anything. And then when you actually say to them, let's do nothing... They're like, what? Do nothing? You're going, yeah, let's do nothing. So it's lovely, and it's a nice part of the mentoring, isn't it?
It is,
that it's not just about fulfilling regulations and
And obviously and, there is that too.
Yeah, but
like we do that, but
it's a nice part of it, and it's good to have that connected into it.
Yeah,
you know.
And I suppose it is around developing, but it's the service leads it. So our mentors are there to support the service in whatever way they feel that they need that support.
Okay.
So we're not going in and going, you need to do A, B and C, because who are we to tell them? Yeah. But if we support them for that reflective process, so they can kind of go, do you know what we'd like to really work on? And we have an idea, and our children and our adults, you know, and that's the way it should be. And that they have, I suppose, the support of an external person that, you know, would have a lot of experience behind them that can.
And sometimes it's very hard to reflect on your own service
because
you're too close to it, and I'm culprit for that, you know. But so it's nice to see that somebody can come in and reflect with you, or help you start that reflection process, that say, well, actually, you know what, maybe I could be just, maybe we could just turn that a little bit around, and then that would open this area of our school up. Or like you said, with all the initiatives about partnership with parents and say the trauma or grieving, or, you know, helping with parents, maybe there is an area in the service that could just open up a little bit, that could let all that in, or in a little element of it, you know.
Yeah.
So it's a nice process. So how do people get onto the mentoring service? Or,
well,
like, is there a fee? Do you have to pay for it?
No,
you know,
so
what
it
happens?
When it comes to the early years mentoring, that's all free. Because we receive a grant from DCYA to deliver this kind of the early years development program. Now, you might have heard, so SHIELTA, the QAP process is under review at the minute. So there was a cutoff of last June. So new services that want to participate in the QAP, that's not possible at this stage because it's been under review. Now, the review is going to be positive. We hope to be part of that.
It's not review, you're gone.
No, it looks like they're looking at, I suppose, services are feeling over-inspected. And this QAP it's not an inspection as such, it's a validation process, and it's very much around self-reflection. But they're looking at how current, for example, the DES inspections that happen in early years around the curriculum, how maybe these can be a little bit more self-assessment too. So they're looking at, I suppose, all of those processes and wondering if they could be streamlined in some way, because it just... it's quite onerous when services are trying to do, as you know, be have all their stuff ready for TUSLA and have all their stuff ready for DES and PUBL, and then people are like, oh, I can't put SHIELTA on top of that, you know, so it's looking at that.
And, and looking at that is great, because it's good they've seen that there needs to be have a look at it, because and I don't know about, I know everybody has different opinions about regulation. Is it over-regulated or not? We are in a profession that has to be regulated.
Yes.
Without doubt, because I started in the 90s and I worked in places that should have never been opened. You know, that kind of way. And
I remember people smoking in the manager's office, like, you know. Oh my goodness.
I was in a place where, you know, when 4 o'clock came, the staff were getting ready to go home for six, so they took out their knitting. Like, that is not a lie. And that is not like 100 years ago. They did their knitting and the children were on the floor. They were very happy. They were extremely happy. And crisps and lemonade came out at 5 o'clock. But I remember going, we are so far from that. And in a good way, like in a really, really good way. And but there is a certain that there have to be talks, communication amongst, and I'm delighted to see that, you know, you were saying it's a positive way they're reviewing it, and they can look at it in a different light. You know, can't please everybody all the time, but we are in this profession to take care of children, and as Bernardo's, their ethos says, to reach their full potential in a safe environment, you know. So I think working together, and Bernardo's do a great job, Sharon, and like, I'm going to be back here because I'm telling you now, this is so much. I even want to speak to the girl that does the mentor, because I really would love to know about that and her process and her training and things like that. So it is so much. Like, you're four strands there. There's a lot going on. So
there is. And then we would also do a lot, like when you were talking earlier on about reviewing things. So we would sit on a lot of those, I suppose, government level or TUSLA level, agency level kind of collaborative groups with a lot of other early years organisations, you know. So
behind the scenes, a lot goes on to these publications and a lot goes on to policy. So they don't just all of a sudden, somebody in the government, I don't even know where they all sit up there far away, pick out, we're going to do this and throw that regulation. There's a lot of process behind
that. There is, particularly in the last few years. I don't know how it would have been before then, possibly, but definitely you can see there's much more efforts made to be consulting and do collaborative work. And I know there's still a long way to go, but it's great to see that it's going in the right direction.
Yeah, I think so too. It is really positive, you know, and I think we all have to listen and do our research and join the library here in Bernardo's. You can get online and comment there to help you.
Or join our Facebook group. So it's Bernardo's Early Years Learning and Development.
Brilliant.
So just go on and request to be a member, and we'll sign you up.
So, like, it's been a great conversation.
Same here. Thank you.
I really enjoyed it. And I think, you know, we're going to talk more about Bernardo's and maybe speak to other people in the organisation and you know, find out more about this mentoring and maybe people on the ground working in the preschools and in the centres and find out their real life stories would be lovely.
Yeah, it'd be really interesting.
So Sharon, thank you so much.
No, thank you.
It's been a pleasure. So there you have it. On to the next time. This is your host, Loretta, telling you to take care and be kind to yourself.